For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website.
Good morning. So, 2 days ago was the winter solstice. So I want to talk about that some and read some poetry about winter solstice from some of our ancestors and talk about yin and yang. So this is from, first is from Ehe Dogen, our founder in Japan, who gave a number of Dharma Hall discourses on the occasion of winter solstice. And in several of them, he quoted a winter solstice Dharma Hall discourse from Hongzhi Zhangzhui, Chantong Hongzhi, who was a century or so before and had and wrote picked the cases and wrote the verses for the Book of Serenity. So we've talked about him. At the beginning of Hongzhi's Dharma Hall discourse, he talks about yin and yang. Yin reaches its fullness and yang rises. Strength is exhausted and our state changes. He goes on to give a number of references from Zen koans and poems. And then, yin reaches its fullness. So as the winter solstice arises, that was the shortest day of the year a couple days ago, and yang arises, so the days start to get longer. Of course, it's winter, so it may not feel that way, but anyway, there's the gradual arising of energy that starts with the solstice. Hongzhi quotes an old Zen story, an old koan, about Juefeng, Seppo in Japanese, the great Chan Tenzo, who cooked in many places as Tenzo before founding a temple and having many students. Juefeng asked the monk, "Where are you going?" The monk said, "I'm going to do community work." Juefeng said, "Go." Later, Yunmen said, "Juefeng understands people according to their words." So Juefeng took him at his words, and we will have our own temple cleaning our own community work a little later. Hongzhi said about this story, "Don't move. If you move, I'll give you 30 blows. Why is this so? For a luminous jewel without flaw, if you carve a pattern, its virtue is lost." So Hongzhi is talking about the luminous jewel of our Buddha nature, of our Zazen nature, of our uprightness. Can you all hear me back there? Yeah. So he says, if you carve a pattern, its virtue is lost. Hongzhi emphasized, just abide in this luminous jewel of Buddha nature, of upright sitting. Dogen has a comment, though. He said, although these three venerable ones, Huefeng and Yunmen and Hongzhi, spoke this way, I, Ehe Dogen, do not agree. So this one is from 1245, this Dharma Hall discourse, soon after he'd moved to the North Country and was in the process of founding Eheji. Dogen says, I do not agree. Great assembly, listen carefully and consider this well. For a luminous jewel without flaw, if polished, its glow increases. So for Dogen, it's not enough to see the luminous jewel of Buddha nature expressed in our Zazen, but if polished, its glow increases. So Dogen emphasized expression. of this luminous jewel. And when polished, it develops, its glow increases. Dogen goes on to say, today's first arising of Yang and the daylight's increase is an auspicious occasion. A noble person reaches maturity. Although this is an auspicious occasion for lay people, it is truly a delight and support for Buddha ancestors. Yesterday, the short length of the day departed, yin reached its fullness, and the sound of cold wind ceased. This morning, at the winter solstice, the growing length of day arrived, and yang arises with a boisterous clamor. Now, it's still winter, so we may not feel a boisterous clamor, but energy is arising. Now, patchwork monks feel happy and sustained, and the Buddha ancestors dance with joy. How could directly transcending the realm of awesome sound, king of emptiness, have anything to do with the seasons of spring, autumn, winter, or summer? So the realm of so awesome sound, king of emptiness, was the Buddha of the empty kalpa before the Big Bang. And so Dogen is pointing to the unconditioned, where it has nothing to do with spring, autumn, winter, or summer, even though he's celebrating the solstice. So that's one starting point for considering this. And in terms of yin and yang, well, I want to read some poems by Dogen for the winter solstice. I'll read one and then say some more. So, wait a second. Okay, yeah. Yesterday was short, today is longer. Though without edges or corners, the solstice is good to examine. I encourage you to look closely. Stop asking for the sun in the sky. So it may still be cloudy, and it's midwinter. It's the beginning of winter, and yet today is longer. And he says, look closely. So this thing about yin and yang, I want to say a little bit about. We have two sides of our Zendo. We could say there's the Tenzo side and the Ino side. But also, Kaz Tanahashi, who's been here a number of times, my old friend who's a great painter and calligrapher, as well as the translator, a translator of Dogen Shobo Genzo, has left us two paintings, and we could see them as yin and yang. So behind David and Douglas, the first one he left is the snow, he calls the snow within. So there's no snow yet. There would have been probably up in the north near Eheiji at the solstice time in Dogen's time. And, snow is coming as the winter is here. We've had a little bit of snow, but although Paula, who's a native Chicagoan and really knows Chicago seasons, told me that there's not going to be any snow this year till March. So we'll see. So there's the snow side, the snow within, and to remind us when the snow's outside that the snow's also in us. The other poem, the other painting behind Brian, which Kaz Tanahashi left the last time he was here, he called The Desert Within. And I think he brought that as one of the paintings to offer us. I don't think he remembered that we had the snow within. So we have the snow within and the desert within. So one side of the Zendo is yin and one side is yang. You can see it's just the desert. And there is the mountain. So, or maybe that's a wave on Lake Michigan. I don't know, but it's covered with snow. So, going back to Dogen, Another, he has two verses on the winter solstice. I read you one of them. I'll read it again. Yesterday was short, today is longer. Though without edges or corners, the solstice is good to examine. I encourage you to look closely. Stop asking for the sun in the sky. So both the sun and the snow are within also. Another, the second poem on the winter solstice. Everywhere you meet him, completing your face. Turn your body and head to pervade the heavens. In this transition, although borrowing the strength of the fist of the Dharma, from the beginning, the effort of your nostrils has been to exhale. So, as I sometimes say about Zazen, please enjoy your inhale and exhale. And after you inhale, please make the effort to exhale. And notice that space at the end of the exhale. Turn your body and head to pervade the heavens in this transition of the solstice, although borrowing the strength of the fist of the teacher or the Dharma from the beginning, at the point at which there is this, as he says in the other one, this luminous jewel without flaw, from the beginning, the effort of your nostrils has been to exhale. So please continue practicing. And he's emphasizing the simplicity of practice, maybe. Or maybe that there is an effort in inhaling and exhaling. And at some point, maybe we will no longer do that, but we're still here. So Dogen also has some series of verses about snow, and I want to read two or three of those. One of his most famous verses. In our lifetime, false and true, good and bad are confused. And we could certainly say that in our lifetimes. In our lifetime, false and true, good and bad are confused. While playing with the moon, scorning winds, and listening to birds, for many years I merely saw that mountains had snow. This winter, suddenly I realized the snow completes mountains. Or that those last two lines could also be read, the mountains had snow could be read. There is snow on the mountains. The next line could be read as the snow creates the mountain or fulfills the mountain. So we have the snow within and on the wall of the Ino side of the Zendo. Kaz, when he was here, said that that poem was the first thing he ever heard from Dogen and led him to study Dogen and eventually translate Dogen into modern Japanese, because Japanese people can't just read the original Dogen material, and then to come to America and start translating Dogen into English. So again, in our lifetime, false and true, good and bad are confused. While playing with the sun, with the moon, scorning the winds, and listening to birds, for many years, I merely saw that there was snow on the mountains. This winter, suddenly, I realized that snow fulfills the mountains or creates the mountains. So is that a mountain or is that just snow piled up? Anyway, there's also the snow within. A couple more of, one or two more of these winter poems from Dogen. Bless you. Deepening dusk in early winter, dense snow keeps falling. On mountains in all directions, there are no cypress or pines. We don't see them from the snow. Stop discussing snow depths and the sinking gloom. I want this to be like Shaoxi Peak on Mount Song, where Bodhidharma came. And that's a steep mountain. I climbed up to where the cave is that he sat in for 9 years. Deepening dusk in early winter, the dense snow keeps falling on mountains in all directions. We cannot see cypress or pines. Stop discussing snow depths and the sinking gloom. So when that snow comes to Chicago in March or whenever, we always note, oh, it's a foot deep, it's 2 feet deep, it's 6 inches deep. Anyway, Dogen says, stop discussing the depth of the snow and the sinking gloom. I want this to be like Shaolin or Bodhidharma. So this was when he was up in Aheiji talking to his monks there. Maybe one more of these. An Udambara flower naturally opens on an old tree. Early plum blossoms erect sanctuary, a bright tower in the night. A silvery pearl net hangs over the entire world. The ground becomes pure as lapis lazuli. So there's some images in here. Udambara flower is said to bloom every, 1,000 years. When a Buddha appears, the Udambara flower blooms. Early plum blossoms, so an Udambara flower naturally opens on an old tree. Early plum blossoms erect a sanctuary, a bright flower and tower in the night. So in the winter in Japan, the first blossoms to bloom are the plums, and Dogen and his teacher spoke about plum blossoms very often. They're white, so it's white on white. It's like a heron hidden in the moon, these early plum blossoms. And Dogen says, early plum blossoms erect a sanctuary, a bright tower in the night. So this is the flower that comes when there's still snow. And I think we have them in Chicago. I remember there was a plum blossom outside the window of where I was staying at Green Gulch when I lived there. Early plum blossoms erect a sanctuary, a bright tower in the night. A silvery pearl net hangs over the entire world. So maybe that's a reference to Indra's net, in which everything is interconnected and the light from each place and then each jewel in the net reflects all the others. A silvery pearl net hangs over the entire world. The ground becomes pure as lapis lazuli. So maybe that, is talking about the snow on the ground, but also it's a quote from the Lotus Sutra. So those are some reflections on solstice and winter from Dogen. And again, this shifting from yin to yang, this sense of balance, like the two sides of our zendo, is evoked, we could say also on the summer solstice and on the equinoxes at these junctures in the seasons, although when we go back to the Buddha of the empty kalpa, who cares about seasons? But here we are in Chicago. So I thought I'd add to Dogen's solstice poems a couple from Saigyo. Saigyo was a Tendai monk, just as Dogen was before he went to China and became and received Zen lineage. Saigyo lived 1118 to 1190, so a little while before Dogen. But he was both a monk and also a wanderer. He traveled around Japan like Basho did later. And he's famous for his poems. He wrote many poems. Often he wrote about the moon. So he was one of the family of those who howl at the moon. But this is a poem he wrote about It's called All Night Long, Regretting the End of Autumn. This must have been on the solstice night. Regret as I may, even the bell has a different sound now, and soon frost will fall in place of morning dew. Maybe I should read the Japanese just for the sound. Oshime domo kane no otosai, kawaru kana shimu ni yatsuyu o musubi kauran. Regret as I may, even the bell has a different sound now, and soon frost will fall in place of morning dew. So have you noticed that the bell sounds differently in different seasons? David, would you give us a nice sounding of the bell, the big bell? That's good. So do you notice how it sounds different from a week ago? After the solstice. Anyway, that's what Sagyo tells us. Another poem from Sagyo called Winter. Clouds have all scattered from the tall peak where I wait for moonrise. What kindness in the first of these early winter showers. Tsukio matsu takane na kumo wa haranikeri kokoro arubeki hatsu shigure kana. Clouds have all scattered from the tall peak where I wait for moonrise. So Saigyo loved to stay up and look at the moon. What kindness in the first of these early winter showers, he says. So he's appreciating the early winter. One more. This is called Falling Leaves at Dawn. This is also a winter poem. Wondering if it's a winter shower, I wake in my bed and hear them. The leaves that couldn't withstand the storm. So he's maybe there's no rain. Maybe it's just the wind and the leaves falling, and he's hearing the leaves falling. Shigure kato nezame no toko ni kiko yuru wa arashi ni taeno kono hana narikeri. Wondering if it's a winter shower, I wake in my bed and hear them, the leaves that couldn't withstand the storm. So, we're at this transitional time of the solstice. Winter is coming, as they say. Or winter is here. Even though it's fairly mild out today. So who knows in this time of climate chaos if we'll have a real Chicago winter. But I wouldn't count on not having it. And part of what all this brings up is the naturalness and the nature and the and how nature includes yin and yang. Includes yin energy and yang energy. And there's this balance that's part of the natural order, and that's part of our lives, and that's part of the shifts in our lives. And so at time of the winter solstice, yin is at its greatest. So this receptive, soft energy. But also it's the arising of yang. It's a more active part. So if the desert is within and the snow is within, we feel this also in our bodies and minds, in our hearts, in our zazen. And you know, we celebrate in our lineage the harmony of difference and sameness, the harmony of oneness and abundance, the many and the one. So finding balance is a key part of our practice. How do we find the balance between softness and sensitivity and uprightness and assertiveness? How do we come to express Buddha in both, on both sides and in their interaction. So I thought I'd offer some poetry for the solstice. Does anyone have any comments, reflections? Gyoshin, I know you like to celebrate solstices and equinoxes. Do you have anything to say about the winter solstice to start us off?
I'll just comment on your question about drums. We do have people make drums that flowers in the prairie, but most flowers in April. But as Lucy mentioned in the spring report, that our earliest flower usually flowers in February.
Oh, yay. I guess that's where it gets its name. Okay, well, something to look forward to. David. Yeah.
Hana means flower.
Yes.
Yes, it also means leaf when we talk about the leaves fall.
Yes.
Those are flowers also. But the plum blossoms are really treasured because of the so sweet smell.
Mm-hmm.
And you go into a room and it just overpowers you. You feel like you get some blossoms and here we would be smelling them over the incense, which is so pungent. And it's actually part of when Japanese. There's usually a bouquet of pine and bamboo and plum. And the pine is that you love the evergreen. And the bamboo and your love grows quickly like the bamboo. But also the bamboo, your love grows quickly. But the plum is flowering even in adversity, even when there's snow on the ground.
Right.
And also to bring you sweetness because the smell is so sweet. So it's just interesting hearing that all those images. That which just came up to my mind. It's a bit of a fortune to have the chance to experience that.
And there's the New Year's decoration that everybody puts out on their door, which is it's pine and bamboo, and is it plum?
And plum.
Yeah, so those three are also everybody puts out as a New Year's decoration. It's like we put out wreaths. They put that out, yeah.
They call renewal.
Yes. So renewal and balance, yeah. Yes, Daniel.
I like the image of the snow fulfilling the mountain.
Yeah.
It made me think a lot of our practice being fulfilled in a way by our encounter with the snow of others, you know, sense, complimenting others, supporting others. There's something about the yin and yang of the solidity of sitting like the mountain or the Dharma, our knowledge could be kind of like the mountain as well. Sort of fulfilled with compassion, the softer side, so to speak. So
good, yes.
There's something about the winter too, bringing out these yin and yang, balancing thoughts.
Yes, thank you. Other thoughts, questions, comments? Yes, Phyllis.
I was also very impressed with that image of the snow fulfilling the mountain. But what made me thought of immediately was the contrast of impermanence and seemingly permanent.
Right.
At least to us, mountains always seem to be there. But snow seems to come and go. But
the snow melts. Mountains melt too, but over a very long time.
but we intellectually, we all know that it's actually not true. Both of them are impermanent. So that was very interesting. And another thing that really pops up to me was when you talk about winter solstice and how it actually reached that point of the yin energy being in this peak.
Yes.
And then afterwards, the yang energy starts to gradually come back.
Yes.
Gaining strength. And we actually, all that the young energy started to grow. And that reminds me something I read that truly surprised me about botany. Plant?
Oh, botany, yes, yes, yeah.
I learned that although for plants that lose their leaves, trees that lose their leaves, we always see them as, oh, when the spring comes, the leaves come back out. That's the idea of growth. But I learned from that article that the leaves actually start growing in the leaves. You just don't see them inside the branches.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, by the time they come out in spring, it's the beginning of their death.
Oh.
By the time they come out, they've already been much done. They come out to do their final work for the time, which is to do the photosynthesis process.
Yes.
And that also, when I was reading the article, it was like a seven phase. It's like, but we were so wrong. So that really tied into all the poems that you were sharing.
You're welcome. Thank you. That reminds me, I've heard that when the leaves turn color in the fall, and Gyoshin, correct me if this is not true, but that actually the green is just from the season, but actually it's from the chlorophyll. When the chlorophyll fades, that's in some ways the natural color of the leaves, which is all the colors. So the colorful leaves is actually their true nature. So, any other comments or reflections or images to share, whatever? Well, thank you very much. Please enjoy the winter and the snow when it comes in March, or sooner, maybe. We'll see.